What do lower interest rates mean for student loan debt? In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Student loan debt is nearly $1.5 trillion, according to the Federal Reserve. Many students will spend much of their working lives paying off debt and the interest on it. The Fed cut interest rates about a month ago by 0.25%. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports on how that could affect student borrowers.
Just like home buyers, credit card holders, even car buyers, Michael Kitchen at LendingTree says student borrowers can feel it when the Fed tweaks its federal funds rate.
Anytime that goes down or up, for that matter, it'll eventually bleed through into student loans.
It's not a direct relationship. He says private loans and refinancing rates are based on LIBOR, another global benchmark. But LIBOR tends to follow what the Fed does. So does the 10-year Treasury yield. Congress uses that to set rates for federal student loans.
They have a formula that they use to set student loan rates, and those will move up and down, you know, based on the Treasury market.
But keep in mind, rates have been going up for 4 years, says Greg McBride at Bankrate.com.
One or two rate cuts is not really going to make a meaningful difference, particularly in the context of the increases seen in recent years.
Still, he says if the Fed continues to cut rates, federal loan borrowers could start to see lower interest when Congress sets their loan rates in June of next year. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Hurricane Dorian is the fifth Category 5 storm in the Atlantic in the last 4 years. Scientists say more frequent and more intense hurricanes are one of the consequences of climate change. Tomorrow, 10 Democratic presidential candidates will participate in CNN's live 7-hour town hall on climate change. Marketplace's Erica Barris looked into what the federal government's currently investing in climate change and learned it's really hard to know for sure.
The Government Accountability Office said between 1993 and 2018, the federal government spent $154 billion on climate change-related activities. That comes out to around $6 billion a year. But the GAO has also said that money doesn't always go towards climate change, and it's distributed among many agencies that don't always keep track. Rob Moore with the Natural Resources Defense Council says that's not good.
If you're not documenting the problem, then it makes it very hard to recognize the problem. And that makes it awfully hard to come up with a solution to the problem.
Compare that $6 billion to the $91 billion Congress spent last year helping communities recover from disasters like hurricanes and wildfires. That could also be considered climate change spending. Meanwhile, Max Boykoff at the University of Colorado says over the past couple years, federal spending on climate change has also had
rollbacks. We've seen reduced funding.
Like not filling jobs at the U.S. Department of Agriculture and pulling emergency money from FEMA. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Parts of Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas are facing evacuation orders because of Hurricane Dorian. That can be particularly challenging for low-income people. Diane Yentel at the National Low-Income Housing Coalition points out on Twitter that evacuating can require a car, a full tank of gas, and maybe even money for a hotel room. I shared that thread online. I'm at KA_Marketplace. Some people in their 20s and 30s are exploring different options for housing. Rather than buying a home or a condo, they're moving into vans. These so-called van life vehicles are often custom made. Sammy Keola with Capital Public Radio in Sacramento looks at the niche market of van conversion.
Calder Phillips climbs into the gutted metal interior of a white Mercedes Sprinter van and maps out a home office for a customer.
And then over here on this side against this big kind of bay window will be the desk, so she can sit here at her computer screen and type up reports, whatever it is she may be doing.
His client is also a whitewater kayaker, so gear storage will be crucial. Phillips and his partner Jen McCamus are experts at creating space, whether it's for a fold-up desk, a custom surf rack, or even a dog nook.
In the walls, in the doors, little cubbies that we can build into what otherwise would be relatively unusable space.
They can also trick out a van with extras like app-controlled LED lights and high-end cabinet latches for a price. A van conversion can cost between $35,000 and $65,000. Their Northern California shop, West Coast Adventure Vehicles, has been booked solid since opening last fall. The earliest they can take a new van job is December. Jason McNamara runs Nomadics, Inc., a van life business directory with tips for conversions, rentals, camping, and more. He says some builders have a two-year waiting list.
There is this extreme demand and, quite frankly, this shortage of supply.
McNamara has added roughly 150 companies to his listing over the last 7 years. They cater largely to millennials who want something more versatile, fuel efficient, and customized than a standard RV. And they're willing to pay for it. He says average build costs mirror what West Coast Adventure Vehicles charges, between $30,000 and $60,000 on top of purchasing a van. Nicole Arndt, a 30-year-old jeweler and filmmaker in Bend, Oregon, says it took her about a year to find the right company to outfit the Ford Transit that she and her husband bought new last year and now inhabit part-time.
We wanted a personalized van that reflected our lifestyles. I wanted it to feel beautiful.
They chose everything from the wooden wall paneling to the soft gray upholstery and added extra storage for camera equipment. Some van lifers are converting their own vans or reselling them, but Arndt wanted to go with a professional.
Part of converting it and the upcharge of using a builder would mean that we have something that we can sell a little bit more easily.
So how much are these converted vans worth? It's hard to say. Resale value varies depending on how old the van is, what special features it has, and how many miles are on it. In Sacramento, I'm Sammy Kaola for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.